If you're following along, we don't have a slideshow this morning just because of time restraints. But if you want to follow along, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 18, though, to give us a little background, here is where Elijah puts the prophets of Baal and Baal to the test. And he tells them to make an altar and to call upon Baal and ask Baal to light the altar on fire. And they're there for hours calling on the name of Baal, and Baal never responds. And that's where Elijah pokes a little fun at the prophets of Baal and says, oh, maybe he's gone on a trip, or maybe he's asleep, to cry out louder to him. And there the prophets are crying out to Baal, and they're in worship, cutting themselves and wanting him to light this altar on fire, but Baal never responds. And then it's Elijah's turn, and it's God's turn. And what does Elijah do? He builds an altar, and he puts a sacrifice on it, and then he dumps water and more water and more water, builds a trench around the altar and dumps water into the trench, and he calls on the name of the Lord, and there's fire. God responds. And because of that, Elijah takes the prophets of Baal and he kills them. And you would think that that would make people happy, but it angered two very powerful people, King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And we pick up the story in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah and threatens him and says, "Oh, let the gods kill me. Let the gods wound me if I do not come and kill you the way that you killed the prophets of Baal." And what does Elijah do? He flees. He runs. He's at Mount Carmel, and he flees from there and goes to Mount Horeb. He's afraid of Jezebel. We experience in our daily lives not necessarily threats against our lives. It does happen to people from time to time, but we face trials. We face people that are angry with us, that are not happy that we are speaking the name of God the way that we do. And Jezebel here is not happy with what Elijah has done and threatens to kill him. And so out of fear, Elijah runs. And in verse 9, 1 Kings 19, verse 9, it says, "Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" I want you to notice something. This wasn't God's plan for Elijah. Elijah, out of fear, he runs from Jezebel. And God comes to him and says, "What are you doing here? Don't you realize that I have something else planned for you?" In verse 10, he says, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He's afraid because, and he feels like he's alone, and he's, everybody else has been killed. And he is afraid. So he abandons what it is that he God wants him to do to for fear that he's going to lose his life. How many times in our own lives do we get do we go through trials or we get discouraged? And what is our first thing to that we do is we metaphorically dig a hole and put ourselves in it and we hide from that discouragement. We hide from that difficulty. And that's what Elijah does, is he, instead of being bold, instead of going and standing up to Jezebel, he runs. And he finds a cave, and he hides there. This last week, we actually, Friday, we moved from our house in Tacoma to Puyallup. And preparing to move, as all of us has probably experienced, is very, very difficult. And then you add in the fact that we have a very young child who gets sick. And then the other three children get sick. And then the wife gets sick. And so all this planning that needs to get done, all this work that needs to get done, seems overwhelming. And you don't know how many times I told my wife, I just want to quit. I just want to go find a hole somewhere and hide until it gets done. And hopefully I don't have to do anything to get it done. And then you add in, I have to prepare lessons, and I have to meet with people and talk to people and all these other things. And all I want to do is quit. But throughout this last week, I remembered Elijah time and time again. And we're going to look at something else, but we'll pick up that in just a second. In verse 11, it says, So God said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountain and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I'm going to take a moment to pause what I was previously saying to look at that. I grew up in the community church. From age 15 until 21, I was part of community churches. And they would teach us that you can hear the voice of God if you just are quiet enough. And they use these verses here to show that. They say, look, God wasn't in the wind, God wasn't in the earthquake, God wasn't in the fire. God came as a gentle voice. And so there was nights when I was a kid that I was a teenager, and I would sit there and I'd pray and I would listen. And I never heard a gentle voice. And it wasn't until I met my wife and learned the truth that God doesn't come and speak to you in a gentle voice, but he speaks to you through his word. And I mentioned this just because the religious world today wants to teach you that, hey, you can hear the voice of God, and if you don't, then your faith isn't strong enough and that you need to have more faith. But the reality is that's not how God speaks to us. God speaks to us through his word. And so if there's ever anything that we're like, oh, how do I deal with this situation? How do I ask God to help me? We don't just sit there and wait for God to open up the heavens and scream down at us. But we go looking for it in his word. And we find advice. And we find how to deal with situations from his word. So Elijah, he's there and he hears this voice, though, come to him and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? In verse 14, then he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Now notice what God says here. It says, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall come about the one who escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. The one who escapes the sword of Jehu, Elijah shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. God listens to the reason that Elijah is here on Mount Horeb and he's hiding. And God says, I still have work for you to do. There's still a job for you to get done. You need to go and anoint Hazael, you need to go and anoint Jehu, and you need to anoint Elisha to come after you. You have a job to get done. And as this week was going on and I was thinking about how much I just wanted to hide and how much I just wanted to escape the process of moving, I thought about Elijah time and time and time again to remind myself, I still have a job to do. I still have packing to do. I still have to look after my kids. I still have to do all these things. But this is what's so crucial. Is God says, I'm leaving 7,000 still who have not bowed to Baal. Elijah, he feels alone. He feels like he has no one. But God says, you are not alone. And all that work that I had to do, I realized I'm not alone. Yes, my wife was not feeling well. Yes, my kids were sick. But they were still able to help me in their own way. As I was hauling things to the dump, my wife is there packing up the kitchen and the kids' rooms. And every night when I was overwhelmed and tired, and my kids were there to give me hugs and to tell me that I'm doing a good job. I wasn't alone. And so for our own lives, there's times where we just feel completely by ourselves. We're dealing with some situation in our lives or in our family's lives or whatever it is, we just feel abandoned. But we have to remember that we are surrounded by Christians who love us, who support us, who care for us, and are looking after us. And we need to remember also, we still have jobs to do. We still have to get work done. And also, we need to remember that God is still by our side. So now I ask, and I know this is a short sermon, but I hope that it helped you in some way, the way that it helped me throughout this week. So now I ask, if you have not yet obeyed the gospel, and if you're ready, you're willing to be baptized, don't delay. Come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.